Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Hello everyone, my name is Jerry Irvin. I'm here with my beautiful wife, Allison. On June 16th, I woke up early in the morning about 6 a.m., went to the gym as I normally do a couple times a week, and about halfway through the workout, I started to feel some pains in my chest. I hit the stop button on the treadmill, it started to slow down, and that's all I remember. And the next thing you know, I collapsed.
It was about 7 o'clock in the morning. I was just getting out of bed and my phone was blowing up and I'm looking at it thinking it's kind of a scam call. And I didn't answer it and they just kept calling and calling and calling. And I finally picked it up and they said that my husband was rushed to the hospital. And that was the toughest moment in my life because my heart just sank thinking, what happened? A few minutes later, I had gotten a call from the ER. A social worker called and said, you need to get here. Your husband is coding and we don't know if he's gonna make it. They wouldn't give us any answers. And that was a scary feeling because I didn't know what was happening, if he was alive or not. This doctor walks in and she said, I got a heartbeat.
The heartbeat, the pulse came after over 40 minutes where I was out. They hit me with the defibrillator 6 times. So the fact that then I get to the hospital and then, you know, this doctor works on me even more and then finds a pulse was just all God.
We needed the encouragement. We needed the strength from our church and our friends. And I know that that's part of what got us through this.
So at that point, you know, they bring me in, they start operating, they put a stent in, and then from there I went into ICU, right? It was far from being anything that was going to be healed. But then God started to do miracles. You guys saw signs, right?
Yeah. From that very moment that they got a heartbeat, there was just positive news, like one thing after the other, it just kept getting better.
When I started to get up and walk around the hospital after like less than a week, people were literally calling me Miracle Man, but it's just because God partnered with all of you and all the people to bring me through this, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for people praying.
If it's God's will, you can't stop God's will.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, who's ready to hear the rest of the story? Yeah? Come on, stand to your feet. Give glory to God. Jerry Irvin, come on, brother.
Well, good morning, Bethel. Good morning, Bethel.
Good morning.
That's much better. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Mike and to Pastor Julie for this opportunity to come and share my testimony, but humbly I say this is our testimony. The reason being, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all of you. And that's just the truth. I mean, I'm so thankful for everyone that prayed for me and my family, everyone that visited me in the hospital, everyone that brought food to our home after, you know, I was, you know, once I got home, everyone that gift baskets and money. I mean, just so much love was poured out. So I really, from the bottom of my heart, just want to thank all of you for your love, for your compassion, for your diligence in praying for us. And Alice and I are just really amazed because we know we love Bethel Chandler here, and we've been here just over 3 years. But, you know, we had people praying all over this country and actually all over the world. And we're still finding out. People, I would see them and say that.
I have to fix your shirt.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. My beautiful wife, Alice, if you do like this shirt, she buys everything that's nice for me. So. Thank you, honey. And those of you online, welcome as well. So, thank you anyways for everything. So I do want to share my story and our story about what happened. So I'll just kind of give you a little bit of the insight in the beginning. You heard a little bit on the video there, and then I want to go into scripture. So if the audio team, if you guys wouldn't mind pulling up that first picture for me. But so yeah, on June 16th, it was just a normal day for me, and I got up early in the morning. I went and did my workout. It was the second workout of the week. I typically go for like an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. So I was at the gym early, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was on the treadmill, and I was doing my normal 5 minute, kind of warm my body up before I go lift weights for an hour. And I started to feel some pain in my chest, which I had felt before, actually, for a couple months prior. And I was talking to somebody, and they said, oh, well, you know, did you have COVID? And so maybe it was just related to COVID. You know, people are getting blood clots, et cetera, et cetera. So I took aspirin and I just thought nothing of it. You know, most of us guys like, oh, we'll be all right. You know, we're fine, right? So this is another Thursday morning where I'm just up and I feel that constriction, but it always goes away. Well, this time when I hit the stop button on the treadmill, this time I passed out. And so that's all I remember. So I was out on the ground. And some of the staff and team members from the gym that I was at came over. They called 911, and then the EMT was there on the scene within minutes. Actually had the fortune of talking with the fire chief who was on the scene and actually worked on me, and I got to hear the story from his perspective just last week. And it was just an amazing meeting. We talked for about 45 minutes because for a lot of them, they don't get to see the end result, right? They take care of you and then they never hear. So even for him, it was really a great meeting. But he told me, he said, Jerry, you know, we worked on you for 40 minutes ourselves. And I had thought all of this time that the 40 minutes was from the time I collapsed to when they got a pulse. But he said, no, we worked on you for 40 minutes. He said, you were out. He said, we defibrillated you 6 times. And there was no pulse. He said, you were dead. I was like, you're saying I was dead? He said, no, yeah, you were dead. You had no pulse. And so imagine, you know, the gym calls my wife, like she said, you know, it's early in the morning, and she gets a call, and, you know, nobody wants that call. You know, here it is early in the morning, and she gets a call from the gym. And it's just devastating. It was the hardest moment of our family's life. It was the most difficult thing. And I know some of you have been on the receiving end of some calls like that. Or maybe it's not that extreme, but something else. So you know what it is to walk through hard times. So she gets up and she gets my youngest son up, Noah, who's 17, and, you know, wakes him up in a frantic. And then they have to drive over to the hospital. And then she calls, gets in touch eventually with my daughter, who's in London. And then my oldest daughter, and then my son, who was also in Hawaii. And so imagine, you know, my son told me his version, like he went, he was in Hawaii, he just cried for like 2 hours, right? Because he didn't know if his dad was going to be alive. And my youngest son, Noah, you know, when he saw me like this, he cried, he couldn't stay in the room. And then my daughter was coming from London. And that whole plane ride, you know, 12 hours or what it is, just devastated. Nobody wants that news. Nobody could bear that, right? And so it was hard for my family. And so Allison arrived to the hospital with my son Noah, and immediately she's met with a social worker that brings her into a private room to say, hey, listen, it's been over 40 minutes. They're doing all that they can, but it's not looking good. And so you need to call your family. You need to get them in town right away because we don't know. And so she had to start making phone calls to people. And literally within 2 to 3 minutes of that conversation, and they even asked, like, hey, do you want us to get the chaplain in? In other words, this is not looking good. There could be moments where they call time of death on your husband because they've done all they can do. But God had other plans. God had other plans, and literally within minutes, the ER doctor comes in and says, I got a pulse. Praise God. But she was honest and gave her the facts and said, yes, we got a pulse, but we're a long ways from recovery. In fact, we don't know what the final outcome would be. You know, 40 minutes plus without a pulse, there's a strong possibility that he could be brain damaged the rest of his life. Because even after 5 minutes or 10 minutes, some of you know medical, right? Your brain is compromised, right? Your organ, I mean, my lungs were, the fireman told me that. He said, Jared, we had to crack your lung. We had to break your lungs in order to do the CPR. So my lungs were compromised, my organs, my kidneys shut down. And so it was just not looking good. And they said, so it's going to be a long journey. And so I'll stop with the story there. So they come in with the caseworker and they bring in we're ready to bring in a chaplain. So I'll pause there, but I want to open up the Bible to scripture. So if you have your Bibles or your app, turn to John chapter 11. We're going to look at the story of Lazarus. So we're going to go to John chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. And this is the story of Lazarus. And I love this story because it's about a dead man being resurrected. So we're going to read there. But before we get into the story, let me just share one other thing that I want to express to you. So one of the things I learned years ago, and it's very important to this story, and it's very important to my story, and it's very important to your life. So one of the things I learned is when it comes to how we live, there's a difference between a fact and God's truth. So a fact is truth. It's actually a fact is truth, right? But a fact only tells you about what is in the present that's true or what's in the past that is true. So in other words, a fact right now is that the fact is I'm on the stage right now, right? That's a fact. The fact is you're in the audience, right? That's true presently. The fact is yesterday, Alice and I went to see one of our friends. It was our first movie release. We were in the movie. That's a fact that we did yesterday, right? So that was true. And then you have facts of things that you did yesterday. So facts tell us what's true from today and from our past. God's truth, however, picks up and tells us what's true about our future. And only God's truth. See, facts can't tell you about the future. I can say, oh, it's a fact that, you know, later today I'll be eating dinner with my family. It hasn't happened yet. And what if that doesn't happen? So you can't project facts as truth into the future. Only God's truth can give you that. And the reason that's important, especially on the other side, because the enemy knows what your facts of life are as well. And he'll bring them up. And if we're not careful as how we live our lives as Christians, we can get caught up in the facts and not listening to God's truth, right? So the enemy will say, well, Jerry, yeah, you said some nasty things to your wife last week. And he's right. That's a fact. I did. You know, 10 years ago, you did this. You know, 20 years ago, you hurt this lady, you know, this young lady. And it's all true. So if we're not careful, the enemy will bring up your facts of life and drag you through the mud, and that's all you're living by. But what does God's truth say? What does he say about you? What does he say? Yes, yes, that's the past. You can't do anything about it. But what's God's truth, right? So as we read this story, we're going to see a lot of facts, but we need to live on truth, because Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, not the fact, and the life. And Jesus said they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. So if you want to be free, if you wonder why you're still in bondage, you need to live on truth and not on facts. Amen. So as we read this, I want you to see if you can point out where the facts are and what God's truth is. So let's start John chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to start. A man named Lazarus was sick. Fact. He lived in Bethany with his sisters. Fact. Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. Fact. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, truth, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. That's truth, folks. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And then I'm going to skip down to verse 17. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Fact: Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, fact, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Truth, your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "Truth, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I always believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, fact, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, fact, "This man healed the blind man. Could he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb in a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Fact, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Truth, didn't I tell you, you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here, so that they would believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told him, "Unwrap him and let him go." And so I just want to talk about a little bit of this story. So what's interesting to me about this story is, again, you see a lot of the facts, right? What's a little misunderstanding, Jesus heard about Lazarus being dead, you know, or dying, being sick, right? And this was good friends of his. You know, he loved Lazarus. He broke bread with him and everything. So, but yet, even when he heard the news, he decided to stay 2 days where he was. Now, I can't imagine when my wife got the call about me having, fallen down in the gym, that she would just go on with life like nothing happened for the next 2 days, right? Or even as she called Pastor Mike and told him, could you imagine? He's like, "Oh, okay, great. Thank you for letting me know. I got meetings today." And like, who would do that, right? Like, if you love somebody and you hear that somebody's sick at the point of death, don't you go right away? So why is Jesus staying an extra 2 days to where he was, and then it takes 2 days' journey to get there? Because Jesus lived in truth. And he said in the beginning of the scriptures that this sickness, Lazarus' sickness, is not unto death. But see, this is where the facts were, that if they lived on facts, but he lives on truth. So a lot of times we want to see miracles, we want to see the signs, we want to see the wonders, but what we don't want to do is get pushed to the limits. Because sometimes Jesus doesn't show up and God doesn't show up when we need him to. Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had given me that raise earlier, I wouldn't be in this situation. Lord, if you had healed my son or my daughter before, I wouldn't be in this situation. So we all want it, but sometimes if we want miracles, signs, and wonders, God has to go beyond the natural limits of what man could do. And so in this case, Jesus and God had a plan to say, we're going to let Lazarus go 4 days. Because he had already done miracles before where he healed people the day that they died. There's two accounts of that. And so some of the people back in the days, back then, the Jewish people believed, well, you know, if somebody dies within the first 3 days and they come back to life, well, some of the mystics believe that, well, okay, maybe that was just, you know, he was sick or something like that. So they didn't really believe that it could be a miracle if it happened within the first 3 days. So Jesus said, okay, we're going to fix that. Because this is about the glory of God. We're going to let it go 4 days. And see, at the fourth day, the body is so decomposed that the Jewish people knew that after 3 days, there's no way you're coming back to life. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That there's power in my hands. And you can go 3 days or 4 days, but don't give me the facts. So when Jesus showed up in town, they give him the facts. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would be alive. Lord, it's been 4 days. Is that a fact? Lord, he is now, by now, he's decomposed and he stinks. So they were giving him all the facts because that's what they were living by. But Jesus walks in truth. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the one who created the heavens and the earth. I am the one that painted the sky and did all those things. I am the one that walked on water. I'm the one that fed the 5,000. I'm the one that will raise Lazarus from the dead because all power is in my hand. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they said, Jesus said, show me where you laid him. And Lazarus came forth. See, when it comes to miracles, we all want them. We all want to see them. I want to see them. But God challenged me 3 years ago when I was probably teaching this story. I was teaching the story of the woman with the issue of blood. I love all those stories. But God asked me a question. He said, Jerry, you love those stories. You love to teach them. You get excited. But let me ask you a question. Are you willing to be the one that needs the miracle? Huh? Wait. Time out, Lord. I want to do them. I want to see them. But if you're asking me am I going to volunteer to be the one that needs a miracle? Lord, I love you with all my heart, but I'm not signing up for that. I'm sorry. And I've wrestled with that for 3 years. Because I only want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with purity of heart. I only want to teach it when I mean what I say and I say what I mean. And so God was challenging me in that moment to say, Jerry, you teach these stories, but are you willing to be the one that needs the miracle? Because on the side of every miracle, there's someone that delivers it and there's somebody that needs it. And some of you have been in that place where you need a miracle, whether it's cancer, whether whatever it is. And I was like, Lord, no, that's a hard ass. But that's the gospel. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. You know, Paul talked about the fellowship of his suffering. And now I can say, I can put that behind me because I needed a miracle. I was the one on the other end that needed a miracle. So I can put that. So now when I teach the word, I can say that in truth. So I want to shift the boulder back to my story. If you guys wouldn't mind putting that same picture back up again. So going back to the story. So here I am. Allison gets the call. She shows up, right? They're ready to call time of death. It's been over 40 minutes. There's nothing else going on. And then the lady comes in, the ER doctor says, I got a pulse. The first sign of a miracle. Thank God, because he had other plans, right? The truth of God was that he wasn't finished with me yet, right? But then she said, fact, it's 40 minutes. They're a long way from being recovered, right? So then the heart doctor comes in. He discovers that there's an artery that's 95% blocked. He puts a stent in. And even that was mind-boggling to him. He's like, 40-plus minutes, and all I find is a little artery that's blocked? Like, he was expecting to find some big widowmaker or some need to do double bypass or whatever they do, right? And he found a little artery. So then they do that, but my body is so compromised. My heart's not able to function, so they put an Impella in my heart to help me, my heart to beat. And then, again, my ribs were cracked and broken, and so they put a tube down my throat to help me breathe. And so you can see this. And so I'm just in ICU, and I'm compromised. And a lot of you guys came to see me and visit me in that state, and it was hard for a lot of people, right? And so the facts came to my wife and our pastor, to everybody that was there, is that, listen, 40-plus minute, most likely he's going to be in ICU and he's going to be on life support for 4 to 6 weeks or even longer. We don't know. But that's the possibility, right? The fact is also, because he was out for 40 minutes, that there's a really, really high chance that his brain suffered severe damage, and for the rest of his life, he might be in a vegetable state. Those were the facts that they gave us. Now listen, the doctors did everything they could, and they were wonderful, right? And they're just going off of what the facts of what medical terms show them, what medical history and what they've seen in their life. But we know that God had other plans, because the truth of God said, and as Allison got the word, she immediately went into prayer and thanked God for a praying wife. Yeah. Woo! Thank God for a praying wife. So she begins to pray. She calls a pastor. He begins to pray. He prays her all the way to the hospital. Then pastor tells Pastor Julie, and she begins to pray. And then she sends it out to all the prayer warriors. And so all of a sudden, in the spirit, there's a war going on. And the prayer warriors in this house, and the prayer warriors that are our friends, begin to pray and intercede and believe, because they knew something was different. They knew something had to be done, so they begin to pray and worship. And what I want to say, the reason why this is our story, is because I just laid there dead. I mean, really, I did nothing. I was dead for 40, but what could I do? Nothing but lay there. But it was all of you that were praying and believing God. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. So what I love about our story is, as I laid there dead, all of a sudden an army of prayer warriors here and around the country begin to pray in war. And they begin to declare, Jerry, this sickness, this heart attack is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But for the glory of God. Because you all know, you read the word, if he did it before, he could do it again. And so you begin to declare and speak life. And so I was in the ICU. People would come, and they would worship. And then my mom got here, and then my dad was here. But thank God for a praying mother, too. So a praying wife and a praying mother. So my mom and my wife were together with me. And as I was heavily sedated, this was like the third or fourth day, right? And so I'm laying out, and they're in there. My mom's holding my hand. And they begin to pray and speak. And she says, Jerry, you know, I'm out, but I'm just imagining my mom's like, Jerry, you know, squeeze my hand if you can. Now, as you know, a mother, I don't think she was asking me. I think she was telling me, boy, you better squeeze his hand right now. And guess what? I'm like, that sounds like a familiar voice. I squeezed the hand, right? She said, okay, boy, now I need you to wiggle your toes. And guess what? I wiggled my toes, right? So right then, my spirit was alive and started to dictate to my body and command it to do things. Yeah. And yes! So with that, God's miracle working started to show up. And so now the doctor said, okay, wow, he wiggled his hand, his feet, and he squeezed his hands. So the next day, they said, well, let's sedate him less, and let's take out the tubes and see how he does. So they take out the tubes, and guess what? I started breathing on my own, and my heart started pumping. And so God's miracle working power started to show, hey, doctor, you've done all that you've done, but now we're in the fourth day, like we call Lazarus out. We're going to call Jerry up out of this state in Jesus' name. Yeah. See, the day before I had the heart attack, I had prayer. And I went after some bloodline things in my family. And I went after some things that I needed to get through. And so the enemy came in the next day and tried to take me out. But Jesus said, and God said to me, no, I'm the author and finisher of Jerry's faith. And he will complete the work that I've called him to do. And so anything the enemy comes in like the flood, the Bible said that the Spirit of God raises up a standard against him. And so what we know is they gave us all the facts, and they did all that they could do. But the truth of God prevailed in my life. And so I started to get better, so I started to move, and I started to sit up. And then you know it's a miracle because the doctors were amazed. Again, they did all that they could. According to their medical records and their history and their education, they did a wonderful job. But they had nothing to do with the fact that within a few days that I was up and talking, some of you guys were there. And then I was up and walking. And so as I got up out of the hospital bed and I started walking around, within like less than a week, people are literally looking at me as I walk through the hospital. They're like, wait a minute. You were dead a week ago and now you're walking around. And it was the craziest thing because, again, I don't know what all happened. I'm just hearing the stories. But the nurses and doctors were literally coming into the room. Nurses were crying, especially the ones that were Christian. They were saying, oh my goodness, you know, we see a lot of fatalities. We see a lot of people that don't make it. And this gives us hope that God still does miracles today. That God still does miracles. So there was hope that was generated. And it's because you came in and literally took over Chandler Regional Hospital and turned it into a worship center, a prayer house. And the saints of God says, hey, we're here to take names and numbers. We're here to take over. And we're going to declare the glory of the God up in this house. And that's what you did. And the whole time I could feel the prayers. My spirit was alive. My daughter, I think it was like the third day, came in after my mom and wife had, you know, told me to squeeze it. So she came in the next day, and again, I'm out. But she was telling me, she's like, Dad, you know, there's people out there that are praying and worshiping on your behalf. And a tear ran down my eye because my spirit knew. Even though my body couldn't respond at that point, my spirit knew, and I heard people's prayers. I heard the worship that was going on my behalf. And so again, I humbly say that I'm standing here today because of your prayers, because of your dedication to the Lord and your dedication to what I did. And so I continued to grow and get better. And it was all amazing because the doctors just didn't understand it. Even the fire chief, he said, when I met with him, he said, well, so Jerry, tell me, so what did they do with your lungs? And I said, what do you mean, what did they do with my lungs? He said, well, we cracked your ribs. We broke them. I'm like, they didn't do anything. Like, what do you want me to say? He's literally staring like, wait, what? Because there's a healing process that goes. So God literally healed my ribs, lungs. I felt no pain. It's crazy. He just did it all. He confounded the wisdom of the wise. You know, he did it. And I think one of the other things that was really touching for me is, you know, people said, well, Jerry, did you see heaven? Like, what did you see? And I was like, well, no. I mean, again, maybe that'll come to me. But the one thing I did see is one night, it's probably like the sixth or seventh night, I was in the hospital, and I was just laying there, and all of a sudden, I saw like this white silhouette, and I knew it was Jesus, and I saw it from the backside, and he was walking, you know, as if that way, and then I saw that he was carrying me, and so it's kind of like any of you that have children or have picked children up, it's like if they fall asleep on the couch or something, you go to pick them up to carry them, so like my head was here, my body was there, my leg, and so Jesus was literally carrying me, and I just started bawling my eyes out, because I realized in that moment that 40 minutes, God had me in his arms. Jesus said, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he never left me. It doesn't matter if it was 10 minutes, 50 minutes, 2 days. I was in the arms of my Savior the whole time. And that was peace for me, because I know that God loves me and I know that God loves you. And when you go through situations like this, you reflect on life. It makes you think about what's important in life. As I said, there was such an outpouring of love from all of you and all the people worldwide that were encouraging us, that were bringing food, that were visiting us. And it really made Alice and I reflect on what's important in life. You know, sometimes we're in a treadmill of life going nowhere fast. And we're just busybodies. And we're working and we're doing a bunch of stuff. And we're just not having the proper relationships and the time with our families or with other people. So, you know, this has been a good correction for us, because there's some people that we hadn't talked to, good friends of ours, that we hadn't talked to in years. And we're like, why is that? That's wrong. Or we hadn't seen family members. We hadn't seen in years. I know COVID. I mean, I get all that. But still, there's things that we could have done. And so going forward in life, I want to be more intentional about the relationships. I want to be more intentional about the people that are most important in our lives. And I want to be intentional about my relationship with God even more so. And so as we get ready to close, I just want to encourage each of you. Because the truth is, folks, I mean, I woke up on a normal day, Thursday, June 16th, right? Going to the gym as normal, not knowing what was coming my way. And thank God it turned out the way that it did. But in some cases, it doesn't. In fact, Alice and I just heard yesterday that there's another person, a man who's 52 years old, my age, had a heart attack, has three young adult children, and he passed away. I don't know why God chose me to demonstrate his miracle. I don't know why some people, you know, go on and some people don't. I really don't know. And even in the times of Jesus, you know, there's some people that didn't get healed. We'll never know those answers. But what I do know is that every day we have opportunities to live it to the fullest. Every day we have an opportunity to get right with God, whether we did something wrong, whether we sinned yesterday. You know, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Today's a new day. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Doesn't matter how bad you feel your life is or what mistakes you've made. I made a lot of mistakes. But God is loving. His arms are wide open. Jesus Christ paid a price for us. He hung on a cross that we might have a right relationship with God. And he desires to know each and every one of us. The Bible says God wished that none would perish. And so I just want to encourage you today that no matter where you are with God, he's always open. He's always accepting. His love is ever unfailing. His love is never ending. He'll go to the depths of the earth for you. If you're the only person on earth, he would go all the way just to find you. That's how much he loves you. So as we close, I just want to have the ministry team come up, and we're going to end in prayer. I just want to give the opportunity that if you don't know Jesus and you want to have people pray with you, please come down to the altar and pray. Or maybe you feel like, you know, you're not in right relationship with God and you've backslidden or whatever the case may be. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes every single day. But that's why God is so loving. That's why he's gracious. I encourage you to come down and let these beautiful people pray with you. Or maybe you're in need of a miracle. Maybe you feel like you're at that third day. But just like Lazarus, the fourth day is coming. And God can still heal you. God can still bring His glory. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep reaching out to people. But I want to give you that opportunity today that if you want to come down for prayer, for whatever it is, there's people down here that'll pray with you. And I just want to say going forward, you know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. That's the truth. So live every day as if it's your last day. Cherish the relationships that you have. Forgive people that you need to forgive. And for some people, I know they hurt you. I know they don't deserve your forgiveness, but neither do I. None of us do. But God forgave us, and we need to forgive those that hurt us, right? So, as we close, I just pray that your hearts are open to just receiving what God brought you here for today. Whether you're Christian or not, it doesn't matter. We're all God's children. He made us, and He wants us to know. So I'll close in prayer, and then we'll have Pastor Mike come up. But please, don't sit there. Take a bold move. This is your life. Don't worry about the person to your left, to your right, your front, or your back. This is your life. This is your decision. If you're in a moment, come down for prayer. Don't leave here without it. So we'll end with that. Father, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you that your love never fails, God. I thank you for each person that's here, Lord, your sons and your daughters. I thank you, Lord, that you desire that they would know you for who you really are. And I thank you that, Lord, you desire that they would know themselves for who you created them to be, not based on their past, not based on the facts of life, God, but based on the truth of your word, God, of how you see them, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would bless each person, that you would meet them where they're at, God. Lord, we thank you that you give us another day. We thank you that you give us very breath that we breathe today, Father. And, Lord, I pray that we all would leave here, God, with a renewed sense of life, or a new sense of hope, with a renewed sense of really wanting to live life to the fullest and for your glory, God. Lord, we thank you for each and every opportunity you give us to be an example, to be a light, Father, to carry the word of God in our heart, to be what the world needs, Lord. We are the answer. You are the answer, God. So, Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your unfailing love, God. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.